understand it better by and by.
You're often tossed and driven on this restless sea of time.
Amen. Let's stand
Summer
this morning.
Skies and howling tempests all succeed a bright sunshine in that land of perfect day. When the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by.
Oh, I said now by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story, how we overcome. We're gonna understand it better by and by. Story we're going to have to tell, how we overcome in Satan's Eden. It's going to be quite a testimony, isn't it? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Did you enjoy church here last night? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. So glad to have you back in church again this morning. We're just glad that the Lord woke us up. Give us a mind to come to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We got several prayer requests this morning. If you don't mind, you just be seated for a little while. Brother Gilreth, I want you to get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning on behalf of the prayer request. First of all, let me read this card of thanks. Brother Jerry Glenn, Sister Deanna, they want to say thank you so much to the church family for your prayers, your calls, the texts, the visits, and all the help while Brother Jerry was in the hospital and during his recovery, and also for the fruit basket. Been such a comfort that we have, and know that you love and care for us. Please continue to remember Brother Jerry. He's getting better every day. May God bless you all, Brother Jerry and Sister Deanna Glenn. Praise the Lord. We appreciate those folks as well, don't we? Amen. Got some announcements in here. We'll just filter through this stuff. Katie, actually Christy Smith, wants us to please pray for Kyle's 4-year-old daughter. She has been diagnosed with a rare case of scoliosis. He is a co-worker of Brandon, so we will remember that need this morning as we pray. Please pray for Teresa Carter. She's at home today with a sore throat, not feeling good, so let's remember that. There's another announcement. We'll get to that just in a minute. Brother Gene Littleton says he wants to thank the Lord for a good report that he received on his CT scan. Please continue to pray for my family, so let's pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would just continue to bless those folks. Brother Phil Horniak wants us to remember his sister Candy in prayer, suffering from cancer, going through chemo. Most of all, pray for the salvation of her and her family, that the Lord would just touch their souls. We want to remember that this morning. Please remember Brother Joseph Robinson in prayer in Pennsylvania, been having throat problems, so let's remember him as we pray today. Brother Lee Walmsley, not feeling well at all this morning, so we want to remember him in prayer. Brother Bean sends this in for our 6-year-old grandson, Bentley, has had migraine headaches all week, causing vomiting and dehydration. Please pray that they will pass, so let's remember that as we pray today. Sister Charity Hubbard says, please pray for my dad, Brother Ken Buckles. He was taken to the hospital around 2:30 a.m. He is in severe side and back pain. They say that he has diverticulitis, but there is also a continuous bleeding. He is waiting to see a specialist in the morning, so we certainly want to pray for that need. The Lord will be mindful of him. Sister Linda Jablonski wants to praise the Lord for healing her. She went up for prayer 2 weeks ago. She loves everyone, and thank you for praying for her. So we appreciate those folks as well. I want to pray for Marcus Turner this morning and family, as they had a death in the family, and Marcus had possibly suffered a heart attack during the funeral service. They are from Durham, North Carolina, relatives of Sister Jackie Williams. So we certainly want to pray for that need this morning. Marcus Turner, Brother Lanyard, Brother Kenneth, myself used to sing in that area a lot. And Marcus Turner was undoubtedly the best song leader that I ever got to listen to in my life. Just really lost his walk with the Lord, but I believe there's still room for him to come back. And we want to just pray that the Lord will be mindful of his situation and give him healing and be with that family during this time. Brother Scott Irwood said, please pray for my father who is having spinal surgery on Tuesday. So we certainly want to pray for that need. The Lord will be mindful. Brother Gary, Sister Lona says, we're leaving today for a family reunion in West Virginia. Please keep us in your prayers for safe travel. So let's remember that need this morning as we pray. And then this just a testament to you and to your children. Many of the servers at the banquet had many wonderful things to say about our church. And from the children to the adults, they were the most beautiful people they had ever seen. And they want to visit our church. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's just a testament to your conduct and to your character. And you ought to be proud of yourself. You ought to thank the Lord for that kind of report. It comes back from people that really that you don't even know, have never seen before, but you made an impression on those folks. So let's look at our announcements right quick. Well, we can do that. We can do that just in a minute. We'll get to those announcements just in a few minutes. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We know that we're serving a wonderful risen Savior, don't we? There was a man here last night. I called his name. Is visiting with Brother Sammy and Sister Jewel Hubbard. Is he here again this morning? Did he make it back to the service today? Perhaps not, but I spoke with him briefly after service. And Brother Sammy, I'm going to give you just a brief testimony. Brother Sammy had just mentioned to him, I guess church come up in their conversation, and he wanted to know where Sammy and Jewel attended church and a few items that they spoke about. But Brother Sammy brought in the name Brother Branham. And this man was so intrigued by what Sammy was telling him that he spent about 12 to 14 hours on the internet studying and looking at things that Brother Branham had said. And in the message last night that Brother Donnie preached, he said, that's exactly right, talking about the two trees. He said, that's exactly the truth. And he said, God heal me in this service tonight. He suffered from some post, I forget what he called it, but it was some kind of something that flared up in his life from time to time. But he said, I can tell right now it's gone. I have been healed in this service tonight. Is that great or what? Is that wonderful? And he said, you can rest assured I will be back. He's a hungry soul. So let's remember his situation today. Could we stand together? Brother Gilruth, come this morning. Lead us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate these folks. Amen. Certainly appreciate this. Brother Aaron's father. Most of you may know that, but if you don't, that's who this guy is. That's where Aaron learned how to sing, from this man right here.
God bless you. Hey, I don't know about that, but I'm known as Aaron's dad, so. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Let's all bow together and pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just come and we, with our hearts full of thanksgiving. And Lord, I sit out there and I thank God, how do we express our love to you, Lord? God, there's one way that we can express our love and our gratitude, and that's to obey your word, Father. And God, just walk in the light as we receive the light. Lord, as we was talking last night after the service, God, we're still amazed. And Lord, I've been knowing Brother Donnie and the church here for many years, but God, now that we're part of it and involved, God, it's just, you just keep going from glory to glory to glory, and we thank you for it. Lord, as I stand here with these prayer requests in my hand, Lord, and none of us worthy to be here, God, but by your grace, you've made us worthy by that seed that you placed within us before the foundation of the world. The many requests, Lord, the needs of the people, Lord, are great. But God, what a mighty God you are. Lord, hundreds of hands went up. And Lord, perhaps everyone that was able to lift a hand lifted it to you this morning, God, that we need you. We need something from you. Lord, let us not fail to pull from that word today as Brother Donnie would come, no doubt countless hours studied to bring us the food, Lord, that we received this morning. God, we just lift him up, Lord. We lift up the singers, the songs, Brother Louis, the musicians, Lord, this morning. We want to just thank you for it, Lord. What a blessed people we are. God, just ask you to come once again and visit us, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting in the service with us today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. There was a pair of, looks like, prescription glasses maybe that was left over in the library. If you've lost a pair, I have them here. I'll be giving them back to one of the guys, and you'll be able to pick those up in the library after service. Also, there was a necklace found in the fellowship hall. It's in the library, so remember that. And the announcements I've got. Yes, Brother West gave me this. The teen young adult Bible study tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Special guest, Brother Officer Tony Ward will have an important presentation on all young drivers. Parents, please encourage your young drivers and children to come to this event. It'll be very helpful, I think, if you could do that. Want to let you know today is Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Grabley's 7th anniversary. After having been married 50 years before, God has been so good to us. Now, what about that? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just blessed. We're just so blessed to have all of us here together. The Lord woke us up on a Sunday morning and let us come back to His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're gonna do a real quick song. We've got three songs for you today. The youth choir is going to be singing. I know you're looking forward to that. And Sister Alicia going to make a rare appearance singing. And we're so glad for that. And then Brother Harry's got a special song that he's going to give us this morning as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. He looked beyond my thought, guys. Just say it real quick.
I shall mourn shall always be my song of praise.
Oh, yes.
For it was grace.
Yes, it was.
That bought my liberty.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I do not know.
Thank you, Lord.
Just why He came to love me,
oh,
so.
Is the children's choir, are they positioned in the lobby? They're ready to come up. As they come up, let's give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus while they get ready to come. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm really glad about that this morning. Ain't no turning back. Ain't no looking back. Don't even have a desire to go back. We're here, we're marching on, aren't we? Yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all, turn your sorrow into joy. Give him all, give him all, give him all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give him all, give him all, give him all to Jesus, and he will turn your sorrow into joy. And he will turn your sorrow into joy.
Special, so you can stand. Well, I thought I did, but then I got caught between three or two songs, and I give up on both. I was wishing I hadn't texted Louie when I did text him. So, what a beautiful... No, I'm a coward. What a beautiful name, Daniel. You can help me sing this chorus. I love Brother Louie most of the time. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, mighty King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. There's nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. You have no rival.
All right.
You have no equal.
Yes,
now and forever.
All right.
Our God reigns. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, don't we love Him today?
Amen.
We don't just love the mention of the name. We love the mention of the person.
Amen.
You know that in the Old Testament, a person, the word name, the Hebrew word is Shem. And it actually means the character of the person. So maybe when you were born, they would name you a certain thing.
Yeah.
As you got a little bit older, they would rename you. Because they watched things about you that changed. And they would rename you and give you a name which better matched your character. That's what happened to us when we got saved. Was sinners, was lost, was wretched. We was this and that and the other. But after we got saved, we got called His name, Christians. It better matches our character. Praise God. Hey, aren't you happy to be together today? Remember Wednesday night, Brother Jason Watkins will be with us, and actually Brother Crosby from England, he'll be speaking for us. So let's come expecting the Lord to speak to us. Can we turn to the Song of Solomon again today? Except this morning, let's read chapter 2, verse 10. I want to speak to you again today on the wedding night. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds is come. The voice of the turtle, which is the turtle dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Praise God. How I long for that day. Praise the Lord. Dear Jesus, we thank you today, Father. We've been given the great, wonderful hope that when we leave this world, this is not the end of it, Father. That there is a greater place that you have gone to prepare for us. We thank you for sending us your word to help us to be prepared for that other world that is to come. We thank you, Father, for being so mindful of us and caring about us. Lord Jesus, we've read what we believe to be your word. We ask you today that you would take that word and quicken it to our hearts. May our hearts be fertile ground by which the Spirit of God can be able to lay this seed, that it can bring forth a crop in the future. We know as with any crop and any seed that is planted, we do not plant it today and get a full-grown garden tomorrow. But it takes time, takes nurturing. Takes elements of moisture, heat, warmth, several things together that will make it come to its maturity. And we know the gospel is the same way. May today be another addition that will help us in our growth to be what you want us to be, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Just to tap back on the service a little bit. From last night, as we looked at the setting of Solomon and the Shulamite, and also paralleled the Garden of Eden with Eve being there with the serpent, having been assimilated into what God had projected in the Garden of Eden thus far, the woman was totally unaware, apparently, that there was an evil one that was nearby. She was unaware of what the condition of the earth had been. Many years prior to this, she was totally, more than likely, unaware, as Adam was, the condition that the earth found itself in. in Genesis chapter 1. She was completely in the dark, as we would say, of knowing that there was a power that desired to control her home. Not only her home, but her mind, her body, her spirit, her soul. She's soon going to become face to face with this power. It will meet her head on. It will be so deceiving. It will be so deceptive that it will appear to her in such a way not as to frighten her. And we can tell by the setting in Genesis 3, when the serpent came into the woman, she was not alarmed, she was not frightened, she was not overwhelmed in any way, saying anything, very rapid changes that would make her repel against what was being said, but very softly, very gently, nudging her little by little away from the protection of the Word. In such a way that she would be able to hear it and be able to absorb it or assimilate the word that we've been using and not make her frightened. And truly, the serpent did a tremendous job. But we know it wasn't actually the serpent himself as it was the anointing by which he had now come under. And this is why God judged him, because he surrendered his own vessel, his being, into that higher power, which we know was the power of the devil, do we not? In this, then, of course, we know what happened, that the partaking of the woman tree, which now introduces death. But there was another tree in the Garden of Eden, and it was the tree of life, the tree of death, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. All three of these were people. All three of these was persons. They would, each one of them would contribute their part according to the divine providence of God, the way he had laid out the plan before the foundation of the world. None of this surprised God. None of this overwhelmed God. But each of these trees would move into their position according to the allocation of the sovereignty of God. They can do it, of course, because God has foreknown it. God will not make Satan do it. He will not make Eve do it. But he will put them on a basis to where that they can choose. The same way the tree of life, as it stands in the Garden of Eden, the ability to partake of the tree of life is now severed. Once the woman partakes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil now shares the body of the tree of death. By doing that, it prohibits them from partaking of the tree of life, which is Christ Jesus. Whenever God comes down, then the Lord says the man has become as one of us. Lest the man should take his hand and partake of the tree of life, then God drove him from the Garden of Eden. We know if it's not eating a particular fruit, an apple, a peach, a pear, but it was an enlightenment or an understanding of something of what they were. What the serpent did was actually enlightened Eve to a further understanding of the potential and the ability that she had. If he can get her to assimilate into the knowledge he has about her that she does not know about her. And the serpent himself, being of course the beast, as the scripture says, he himself would not have known that. But it must have been a superior force, and we know it was the power of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. Satan knew this as he saw God made him. We know the prophet tells us in serpent seed that when God made the woman, he had quit creating for years and years and years. So he sees the woman is made out of the broken continuity of God. She's given certain great positions in the kingdom of God, of course, and that is to duplicate the Son of God and also for divine fellowship for that Son. But Satan sees about her things that is different than man, things about any other female in the creation. But he also sees that there are weaknesses about her, that she cannot be able to speak to the wind and be able to do things as Adam did. He notices the wind blowed in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, and the wind would pick up a bit and the leaves would start to rustle around. He would notice her. She would speak to her husband and say, "Oh, Adam, the wind. Oh, Adam, the wind." And as she would, then she would express a weakness which Satan was watching for. And as he saw that, then Adam would turn and speak to the wind and calm the wind down. So he saw that she couldn't speak to the wind. She couldn't speak to the trees. She couldn't rename. She did not have the ability to name the beast. So there were things about her that was limited in what she could do. No doubt he watched her over and over and over again. Maybe it went for years. Maybe it went for millennia. We really don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden in this pristine state. But we know that he parallels himself in this day. I believe once he found what was able to work then, he basically mirrors the same thing down through time. So he worked on her little increments of time till he could find out the door that would open to her, and that was through the ability of her mind. God made them so that the mind was a very open type of place. As her soul was, it was not sealed in that she could not fall away from the presence of God. Even so, the mind had the potential and the capability of receiving lies, receiving fabrication, receiving something that had a great element of truth. One of the biggest lies we know that's ever told, it when it has a mixture of 99% truth. So it only has one little element of a falsehood, and then it affects the whole application of truth. So it changes the entirety of truth in the way that it's represented. And her mind had that potential even before she fell to be able to receive lies, right? So in her mind, she had the ability to receive this accusation, as we looked at it last night, against God, that God's trying to keep something from them. And Satan tries to project his own character under the auspices of the name of God and said, God is envious of you. God is trying to keep great things from you, which of course we know was a lie. And yet he was able to project that in such a way, and Eve, in her mind, was able to receive this mixture. Now, she had never heard a lie before, so this is the first one. But her mind is now an open garden, as it was in the Garden of Eden. So she allows this question to come into her mind, and then it also forms in her mind another question, which is going to be applicable to what she's going to be able to do. In that the fall will not come just through the question presented by the serpent, but as it lands in her mind, then she will now give birth, or the progeny of that question will be her own reaction to the question that was placed to her. It's the same way with you and I today. The devil might try to get us to question the word, to doubt the word, you know, the credibility of the word, but it cannot harm us at all until we make that question our own. Then we will couple with that question maybe other questions that we have, and then we are also now mixing the question he originally sown with the question what has already been in our heart, and then you find the productivity of that being the outworking in our flesh. You with me now? Now, it's the same way with us today, and the new birth is exactly the same way. I hope you can understand this, that the new birth comes exactly the same way. By divine deposit of the predestinated seed of God in the hearts of the elect, the Spirit of God then moves, the male, the Holy Spirit moves upon that seed, that representation of God, which is inside of you, and that's what actually produces a new birth. Now, notice this. I mentioned to you just a little bit last night that there was a woman tree, there was a tree of knowledge, and there was also the tree of life, which is later defined in the terminology of a man tree. The woman tree produces death because the woman produces an egg, but she does not have the life which should be able to produce life on its own. Notice this in the trial message. The prophet says it this way: come, Lord Jesus, and bring it to us today, the word. Do your interpretation of the word that you might have, that we might have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now listen to this. Insomuch that we have found you pleasant. Now remember what we looked at last night, that the woman looked at the tree and she said it was a tree to be desired, it was pleasant, and one to make one wise. So she desired this tree. Now look at the reappearing of the Lord Jesus in the last days. By the auspices of denomination, they have made their system more pleasant than they have the Lord Jesus. And this is why there must be a re-unveiling of the Mighty One among us. His own character must be unveiled in such a way that the bride will look at him without the headship of a man, and the bride will not look at him through what mama said, what daddy said, what the pastor said, but she will actually look at him in the great personification of his glory. And when she sees him, she will be so overwhelmed by what she sees that she will say, he is pleasant, he is desirable, he is wonderful, he's the mighty God, he's the everlasting Father, he is awesome. There's nobody like him. Praise the Lord. Now, denominations and men will never be able to do that. They will always lead you to this man or this system or that system. And that's why we needed a restoration back to the original foundation of the true word, because that was the apostolic doctrine. They never projected Paul. They never projected Peter. They never projected James. But they preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then what man did was moved in his own system. And sure, they talk about Jesus. There's not a church probably in the Tri-Cities area that's not going to talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about him, but then they want to get you, well, come join our church and believe what we believe and sign your name here and follow us and do this and do that. So really, it's not really about Jesus at all. It's really about their Jesus and what they want you to be able to absorb about him. But in order for Jesus to become and this type of epitome to be reflected in this way, there had to come a restoration in the last days of the very nature of God. It's not just you and me finding our position, but it is Christ actually himself finding his position. And where is it? His position is with the bride. Amen. Now, what's this? Insomuch that we have found you pleasant, we have found your words true, and confirmed in our hearts that we have passed from death unto life. We all who are born from that one tree in the Garden of Eden that was forbidden to be touched. The woman. Listen now. Forbidden to be touched. The woman. Amen. And her is no life. She only is an egg. And life come from the man, which was Christ. And we've been born of women, as the Bible tells us, in few days and full of trouble. But Father, we have also been born of the life giving from the man. The male. Notice, from the male comes to the female, and the germ is from the male as your spirit. Notice how he likens this now, that we have been born again. And then he goes right straight to the virgin birth, the very thing I said at the end of the service, that the Spirit of God comes. And do you understand what's happened to you? You are virgin born. We talk about Jesus with his virgin birth, and there was nothing like it. And I agree. I've had a virgin birth too. It wasn't from my mama. It wasn't produced by my daddy. It wasn't produced by my mama. But it was produced by the Spirit of God. I was free born apart from denomination. Amen. I was free born apart from the system of man. If you're born again today, you're born again the same way. Why? You are born outside of man being able to manipulate you. Come here, go there, sign our book, put your name here. No, you are virgin born. You've got that seed of God inside of you. Who put the seed there? God did. That's your birth. The Holy Spirit comes and moves upon that. The male Christ moves upon that female deposit inside of you and produces what? Another virgin birth inside of your soul. So you are born again. Amen. And that's why he can call us the virgin born bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. This cannot be produced now by the woman tree. Neither can it be produced by the woman tree of the church. It can only be produced by the man tree, which is Christ. So it's Christ coming to you and I individually. Now we are baptized collectively, we know, into the mystical body. But individually is the way we're baptized in. So God wants every one of us to have our own experience with God. You don't get in because you come to the church. Well, I'm a member of Happy Valley. I guess I'm saved because of that. You'll be as lost as you can be if that's what you're depending on. You've got to be born again. And it must be a virgin birth. Forget what mama said. Forget what daddy said. Forget what tradition said. Let the seed inside of you be born by the very male Christ, the man tree. Amen. Notice this now. In that blood, we have our hopes. It was not of a woman, neither of a man. It was of God. So we pray today, Lord, as we see ourselves partakers of the woman tree, we must all die because there is no life in the woman. Now also, Father, we've been given the privilege to partake of the man tree, which was Christ. So here we find the tree of life, which was in the Garden of Eden, is the man tree. And yet we have been able to be partakers in our body. My, we bear the image this morning that we are partakers of the woman tree. Look at our gray hair. Look at our glasses. Look at sicknesses, disease among us. And we are bearing the mark of the partaking of the woman tree in our body. But if we are born again, we are bearing in our soul the image of the partaking of the man entry, which is what? Eternal life. And we say amen to the word because the man tree is the word. Praise the Lord Jesus. Notice now, partake of the man tree, which was Christ. And now through him we have life. Life, the word, made life among us. Grant, Lord, that these things will become such a reality to the church that they will see and will understand the hour that we're living in. Isn't it amazing that actually talks about the birth of the man tree in you? Then he says that it prays that it'll become an understanding and a reality that you can see the hour that you're living in. It's wonderful to say God sent a prophet, but don't just tell me God sent one. Tell me what he said. And then if you're going to tell me what he said, I'm going to find my identity in there, because he wouldn't come to be able to make a following after himself, but to lead us to Jesus Christ. Notice again, every man that's born of a woman is born in death as soon as he comes. But when he's born into the creation of God, he cannot die. He is from the other tree that was in the Garden of Eden, Christ. Eternal life come to that tree. Friend, do you understand that you've been able to partake of what Adam was forbidden? God said, lest a man should put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life, he's got to leave. And here he stands today right in this building offering himself to you. Praise God, the angels of God are not here today trying to keep you away from the tree of life, but they are anointing preachers by ministering spirits to get you to recognize that you can come to the tree of life. Notice this in the church age book. Now that tree back there in Eden, that tree which was the source of life, was Jesus. Amen. He showed himself as the great I am. He is the bread of life, the well of life, the eternal one, the tree of life. He was back there in Eden in the midst of the garden, even as he will be in the midst of the paradise of God. So he was in the midst of the garden and the midst of the paradise of God. That's only two. God's not perfected in twos. So where is he going to be at before he gets there? There's got to be a middle in the middle. Where's he at? Where is he? Where is he? He's in the hearts of his children. In the midst of the paradise. So your heart becomes transformed, and he turns your heart, your soul, oh glory to God, into this beautiful paradise of a restored garden already in your soul. Now, he understands that we are born of the woman tree, and he knows there's so much negativity that comes with our birth. He understands that the star we're born under, the sign we're born under, has a lot to do with us. He understands that by nature, we inherit things from our parents, by scars of life, people that were around, things that happened to us when we were children. All these things affect us. Now, they do not change the soul, but they certainly affect our behavior, the way we relate to people, the way we relate to God. So he so patiently waits and gives his word little by little, glory by glory, in order to bring us to the place when the power of God can manifest itself in our lives and display the glory of God. Now, by that I'm not talking about just signs and wonders and healings. We've had that all along, and we thank God for it. But what we desire is to be able to reach the full manifestation of the last stage of the glory of the church. Not Luther, not Wesley, not Pentecost, but the last stage, which is the rapture. Watch this now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I would to God, Paul says, that you would bear with me, could bear with me rather my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, listen to this, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrected from the simplicity that is in Christ. Look at the word simplicity, singleness, liberality, bountifulness, the virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. So the simplicity of Christ isn't just getting saved and say, well, that's all I need to know. You need to reread your Bible. The simplicity of Christ is one who is free from hypocrisy. Praise God. Now, this is what Paul feared that Satan would try to pull the early church from in their minds, that they would be pulled away from a godly, consecrated, holy life that would be free from hypocrisy. Well, we could hang here for a while today, couldn't we? Not self-seeking. Openness of heart manifesting itself by generosity. Children, we are living in a world of actors. Don't believe in your mind that all actors live in Hollywood. I believe some of the greatest actors in the world are church people. They act so sanctimonious in church. They act so holy. They act so righteous. Your children know the way you live. Your wife know the way you are. Why? How has it happened? Because our minds have become corrupted away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Living a life that is free from hypocrisy. Acting like you're one thing in church and one thing around the pastor, and then acting a total different way around your family and children, and then you expect your children to want to serve God like you. Oh my, here we go. Why would Satan desire to do such a thing? It is part of his attributes of wanting to take from God that which he is so envious of. As we looked at it last night, that he was so envious of God having man to serve him. And of you wanting to serve him. Oh, he can have all kinds of people that'll live for him because of fear and because of so many things, of addictions. But God don't want you to serve him because of addictions. God wants you to serve him because you want to. A lot of people serve the devil and live for the devil because they're addicted to sin. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? 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 Your victory or your defeat will come right here. Well, I don't think this is wrong. I don't think that's wrong. And I don't think God loves me. I don't think. Your determination from your mind will relate your victorious walk or your defeat. Well, I really don't think you have to do that. I just don't believe it. I don't think that that's actually what God wants. Yep. See, right there. He's doing exactly to you the same thing he did to her in the Garden of Eden. And if he can project that, so Paul says, now for those of you that are born again, you are changed by the Spirit of God. You've got a new birth. Now I'm going to set you in a direction by which you are going to be able to be a Christian that will produce so much of Christ's word that you will be able to be a living garden consecrated to the presence of God. And this is where I want you to start, in your head. You're sinking. Listen, friends, many of the sermons that you've said and enjoyed under my ministry and the ministry of other brothers began by God quickening a thought in a man's mind. Maybe you hear a quote, pass a church sign, see a sign, something like that. And it would begin with assault. And then he goes to writing down a note and send himself an email or a text or whatever more. And it'll come from there. And then he'll start in that thought and go to building. A preacher's mind is a wonderful place. Sometimes. But a preacher's mind can also be his place of defeat. Because a preacher gets discouraged. The preacher gets down. Oh yeah. And then his mind, Satan will try to tell him, the people don't love you. The people don't care for you. Why, if you wasn't a preacher, most of the people in Happy Valley wouldn't even speak to you. Oh, you said, Brother Donnie, you mean you fight that sort of stuff? Every day. Why, so-and-so don't ready to love you. The only reason they love you is because they think you'll help build them a church. They only love you because they think you'll help buy them a guitar. Or you'll do this and that and the other. Oh, yeah. The same mind that the Word can come to be able to give a sermon to a man, to be able to bless people around the world, is the same bedding ground that Satan will try to destroy him with. His mind. As you've heard me say before, one of the worst things I can do on Monday is get by myself. I get by myself and I go down the basement and I'm going to build something, a piece of furniture or something or other. And I get by myself and I go to rehashing Saturday night, re-preaching Saturday night, re-preaching Sunday morning. Think of the things I said wrong or the mistakes I made or somebody that had a big frown on their face when I was preaching. So I have learned to discipline myself. And I refuse to allow my mind to be the devil's workshop in annihilating my victory. Now, will Jesus do that for me? He will not. Will you? Will Mike, will you? Will you? It's left up to me. Now I can gird up the loins of my mind, as Peter said. Or I can begin to think. And say, why did I say that? How come I said it that way? Why didn't I say it this way? You dummy. You ain't got a lick of sense. You knothead from Kentucky ain't nothing but a knot-headed hillbilly anyhow. Why in the world you ever... And before long, friends, I can be as low as a snake. And feel like I'm his brother. Now, don't you sit there and look at me like you got a bunch of angelic wings on your back. Some of you all may not fight that battle, but each of you have your own mind battles that you fight every day. You see, some of you do not fight that you're no good and you're no count. You fight the other thing, that you're about the next thing in heaven next to Jesus. You're the most spiritual, the most blessed. You're the greatest, greatest, greatest. You're just as wrong as the person who thinks so little of himself. But I have found a key. I love keys. Except when I need them somewhere and I can't find the key. Then I don't like keys. But when I need them somewhere and I have the key, I love keys. Because that means you can't get in. That means somebody can steal it. Somebody can rob whatever it is I've got behind that locked door. There is a key. Notice this. The prophet said, notice while they spake about him and talked about him, he appeared. That's a good way to get him around you. Talk about him. What? All the time. Amen. Keep your conversation not on who's or where the next play comes up on the television. Or the next movie's going to come. Or who's going to be elected president. Talk about Jesus. Hey, friends, we're Americans. We can't keep from talking about Trump and this and that and the other and Korea and whatever that's going on. But that should not be the dominating part of our conversation. It should be Christ Jesus and His Word. Christians talk about everything but Christ in these days. Go out and they've always got a bunch of nonsense and everything. They want to talk about something but never talking about Christ. Talk about Him. Sing about Him. Love Him. Keep Him on your heart and mind all the day and night. Praise be to God. David said about that, he bound the laws upon his fingers and the bedpost so he'd have him before him all the time. That's the way. Keep him before you in memory, thoughts, praise, speech. All that you do is kept Christ before you. That's the way to keep him near you. You mean it could be this simple? Why some of us feel so far away from Christ Jesus. How is it that He can be so in our souls and so filled with His Spirit in our soul and yet feel so far from us sometimes? You ever been there? Of course you have. Could it be this, that we don't talk about Him enough? We give Him what spare time we have left over. Oh my, can I go on a bit? Notice again, he says, when a man, if you hear a little something and keep moving his papers, you're talking about church membership, well, he'll never find Christ moving your papers. You have to move your thoughts. So if a person gets upset going to the Baptist church or the Methodist church, whatever it is, preacher says this and the church says that, I don't like it no more. I'm moving my membership. I'm moving over to the First Presbyterian. They go over there for a while, but I don't like this church either. We're going over there. And we got a bunch of church seekers in the land. Of course we know that. People hungering for something. And they move their papers from one place to another. It's not moving your papers. It's not moving your membership. It's your mind being channeled into a direction by which the Holy Ghost can be able to impregnate you with the very thoughts of God for this hour. So you've got to change your thoughts. But you cannot change them unless you've got a direction to change them in. You have to move your thoughts. You have to move your thinking. Get away from reason and move your thoughts from your own way of thinking to what God thinks. Well, I'll tell you one thing now. I think and I believe, and this is what I've always said, and I think and I've always believed, you've got a problem. It's your thinking. Change your thinking, change your life. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Then when you begin to think His thoughts. Now some of you brothers and sisters that's been married for a long time, you know as well as I do. If you're very much one together, you'll begin to think more and more alike. It happens to me and Carol all the time. I was sitting there thinking about a certain thing, and she'll say what I was thinking, or I'll say, and she said, I was just sitting here thinking about that. I said, well, where do you want to go to eat dinner? I don't know. And I'll think, well, what about, we've got these great special places. We always go after church on Sunday. Bojangles, Zaxby's, KFC, Hardee's. So we got the great dilemma when we put out of the parking lot. All right, what great cuisine do we want today through the drive-thru? I don't know, what do you want? Don't matter to me. So I'll start on the other end of Elizabeth, and I'll start. We got Taco John's, we got Wendy's, and I'll bring her all the way up to Elizabeth and the whole thing and tell her every one. When she gets to the end of it, I still don't know what I want. And then I'll say, well, what about Jackson? She said, that sounds good. I want that chicken salad. I was thinking the same thing. Now, can you imagine a person being so close to God that what God thinks about this age, you say it? Don't you understand why we need true anointed ministry? That they are saying what He's thinking.
Hallelujah to God. And you are sitting there, and you know it as well as I do. Many times, even before I say it, you know the direction I'm going. Well, I say hallelujah to that, because that shows the mind is not just in the preacher, but it's in the laity as well.
My goodness. When you begin to think his thoughts, you'll begin to live his life and do the things he did. I'm sorry, friends. This is why I cannot be satisfied just going to church and raising your hand and preaching on the cross. I love the cross. I thank God for the cross, but there's more to the gospel than just getting folks saved. I mean, if the majority of you folks are saved today, why do I need to keep preaching to you about getting saved again? We need to go on. Notice this, he says, when you begin to thinking about divine healing, get to thinking about Christ. Keep him on your mind. If there be any praise, there be any virtue, the Bible says, think on these things. If any thought comes by, well, it couldn't be so. Get it off your mind right quick. Amen. Think on things that's positive. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Never let a negative thought pass through. Now, how many's got this quote totally, totally in your flesh and you never let a negative thought pass through? Ah. Now I say, why I needed to preach this today. You notice my hand wasn't up either. I didn't see none of the preachers, none of the deacons, the trustees. Only liars would have raised theirs. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow. If it starts, keep your thoughts positive. Here's the one word. Jesus. Keep your thoughts positive, Jesus. Again, Brian Bartimaeus, don't think sitting there in the wheelchair, listen to this, that you're hopeless and helpless. You're not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through. Now listen, you can't help it from going through your mind. That's right. But don't let it stop. And here's your key. Everybody drag out your double barrel. We're fixing to break it open. We're going to load it with two magnum shells. Got it? Put it in the left side first, right side. Click her back together. Everybody ready to fire. What's this? Like the old farmer said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my place. But he had a double barrel shotgun. And he could sure keep them from roosting. You do the same thing, and you too. Don't let them roost. Let them pass right on through. Here's the shotgun to use, both New and Old Testament. A double barrel, very good too. I'll tell you, it keeps them all away. Amen. You know what you folks need to do? Carry two of them. One on this side and one on that side. Me and Harry was boys. We used to watch a television program called The Rifleman. Ah, some of y'all told on yourself. You watched it too. Man, that dude would come down that street with that big long thing on the end of that rifle. Me and Harry would get out in the woods, and we didn't have guns. We had grapevines and sticks, and we'd walk around. Glory. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've grown up now, but I ain't stopped shooting. I don't do it like this no more. Now I've got a double barrel magnum shotgun, and it blows Satan plumb back to the gates of hell. Whoa, hallelujah. Well, you say, why don't it happen? Because we don't use it enough.
Let me show you what some of y'all have done with your shotgun. You've put it in your gun safe. It looks so beautiful. There's not a scratch on it. The bluing is as if though it just come from Greenwich, Connecticut. It's perfect. There's not one drop of sweat. Not one scratch on the stock. And you open your safe up every now and then and show it to people. Look at this. This is beautiful. That's one thing about it. When the prophet come up to that old woman's house, that black woman down in Chattanooga, her shotgun might not have been safe worthy, but it was self worthy. When she got down on them knees to pray, you knew she'd used it before. What do you want, a museum piece? Or do you want a gun that when you drag it out, and devils go, oh God, here he comes, you better run, Lord have mercy. Or do you want it whenever you drag yours out, the devil just say, don't worry about him. He didn't even know how to fire the thing. I saw him one day, got that out. He put the shells in the other end. Ain't got nothing to worry about him. He's got all the quote books. He's got MP3s. He's got tape players. He's got all that thing. He don't know which end to switch. He don't know how to use it. Oh, he comes to church. He says he believes the message. Ain't got 1 ounce of victory in his life. Don't know how to pray through. Don't even come to church half the time. Don't never read his Bible. Don't worry about him. He'll show it off a little bit. He'll set it right back in the safe and lock the door and rub his handprints off the safe. I've got this beautiful Old Testament, New Testament shotgun. Brother Charlie, would you like to see my shotgun? Look at this. Now, you can't touch it now, Brother Charlie, because you see there's acid on your fingers there? And if you touch that blue and you leave a mark on my gun, Brother Charlie, I won't like that. Because them oils out of your skin will leave that mark on my gun. And I no. So you push any combination. 038594 asterisk Malachi 4 Luke 17:30 Revelation 10. I mean, you got this 87,000 letter increment password. Open it up. Oh, look at that. Don't y'all think it's beautiful? Oh, wow. Right down the street from you lives a mama that can't quote 10 quotes together. Or a brother that maybe is illiterate. He can't read very good. But he don't keep his shotgun in the safe. He keeps it under the bed. Sometimes he has to sleep it under his pillow. Because the devil hits him in his sleep. Or the devil hits him in his dreams. Sometimes in the middle of the night, he has to reach under his pillow and drag out that shotgun. And when he does, demons go to scattering like roaches in the night. This old boy ain't a preacher, he ain't a prophesier. He may not speak in tongues, and he may not be able to quote quotes, but he sure knows how to hit devils between the eyes. And you got to watch him, he's got an itchy finger. And he's got that trigger set to just almost instantaneous. You gotta watch him. He'll blow you away. I'd rather have that kind of testimony down in hell than to say I've got my shotgun all polished up. And I put the shells in the wrong end. All right, everybody. Let's go on. Come on, some of you. Drag out your special fancy Browning. Drag out this and that and the other. Let's put a little wear and tear on this gun. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I honor it too much to use it. You don't honor it if you don't use it. You don't honor it. You don't believe it if you don't use it. It's not given to you as a museum piece. It's given to you to use. Notice he says you sit in church and think about everything else but God. How you going to do your washing? What you going to do at the office tomorrow? How you going to do this or that? Which I realize nobody here does that. Really. But I'll say that for some of these streamers. Sorry, people that stream our services. I'm telling you. What you going to do at the office tomorrow? How you going to do this or that or the other? Keep your mind off of that. And think of God. Friend, you're not going to convince me. This cannot be done. He would not have told us. It would be unjust of God to tell us such a thing if we cannot do it. We can do it. And you know as well as I do, when you come to the house of God, then you've got to fight to keep your mind on the Word. You've got to fight because you've got all kinds of things going through your mind. Two men talking one day after they'd been to church. One told the other and said, "Boy, we had a good service." Then he said, "I don't know. I fixed my tractor while I was in church." Some of you sisters have made bread while I've been preaching. Some of you have been finishing your Walmart list for Sunday afternoon shopping. Now, I'm not saying you're evil because you do that. I'm saying you're a human that's letting your mind roam. Well, at your church, we're going up on Rome Mountain and we're going to have hot dogs and chicken. Why would you want to think about chicken when you're eating on the Son of Man? But it's our makeup as humans. We think about it and we fill our mind with so much stuff. And when we come to the house of God, we're sitting there battling. Oh, dear God, I didn't turn off my curling iron. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you, sister. Our house will be burnt down when we get home. Did I turn the crock pot off? Oh no. I left the coffee pot going. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, you ain't going to sit there and tell me you don't let such things pass through your mind. And the most aggravating part about that is you get home and the crock pot was not only turned off, it was unplugged. Unless you got a battery operated one, you had nothing to worry about. But Satan knows that stuff works against us. So we sat in church, he says, about your washing, what you're going to do at the office tomorrow. What you going to do this or that? Keep your mind off of that and think on God. The Bible says, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Wonder if I'll be called in the prayer line. Wonder if God will speak. Now listen. So we move from one sphere of battle, minds in our, going on in our mind, battles. So, well, the coffee pot, the washing, what I'm doing tomorrow. Now we move over into a higher target area. Listen to the next one. Will I be called in the prayer line? Well, wonder if God will speak. Now, these people wasn't fighting washing machine battles. They wasn't fighting curling iron and crock pot battles. They're sitting there thinking about how God's going to move in the service. Wonder how Brother Donnie's going to end it. Is there going to be an altar call? My nephew is here in church today. I hope Brother Donnie don't say this or that or the other. I hope maybe God will, and during the whole service you're sitting there thinking of this and that and the other. Sometimes even spiritual means. And you miss what God is doing. Wonder if God will speak. Don't think that kind of negative thought. Don't let it go in your mind. Make every word positive. Listen to this. Every thought positive. Anybody believe this? In Acts the 4th chapter, we find out that those fishermen, Peter and John, healing the man at the gate beautiful, and was able to answer any question that the Sanhedrin asked them yet. With their ignorance and unlearned, they could perceive. They had no education, was not trained ministers, they were fishermen. But they perceived they had been with Jesus. See? Because they were acting the same way he acted on them. You can just live with somebody so long and be around them until you take up their ways. As says it's good for us not to run off and live with the world, but stay with Jesus until we can reflect his life and be reflected in our life. That's the way those disciples were. They knew that they had been around Jesus because they talked like him, acted like him, healed like him, and every answer was like him. They had assimilated into his very mind, his behavior, his pattern, his characteristics, and his traits. Where could they get that? They wasn't born that way. They're just born like us. Negative. But he talked them right into becoming little messiahs. They was inspired like him. They knew he was living in them. That's what we should all be at this time as believers. They acting like him, because if you associate with someone for so long. He said, Brother John, what do you want out of us? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to become? We're already Christians. How much greater can we be? Huh? You're just a baby. If that's as far as you've gone. I want you to become men and women. Sons and daughters of God that are so mature in this word. That no matter what comes your way, you know that your God is greater. Not reflecting our own thoughts, our behavior, our attitude, but so much like him that we become the messiahs of this last age. The anointed ones. You know what Christ means? The anointed one. The messiahs, where he lives. Young boys, these young men sitting here, these young sisters sitting back here, this ain't for 50 and above. This is for all those that's born again. Let me close with this. Adam had this holy image of God in him. It was the image that Paul talks about in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Brother Bam talks about it this way in oneness with God. When Adam and Eve listened to the lie of the devil, the holy image of God left them. And their fellowship was broken with God. Their fellowship of oneness was broken with God. The very minute they listened to the lie of the devil, they broke their fellowship. And the very minute you listen to the lie of the devil, it'll break your fellowship. But it didn't just break it with God. It broke up with each other. You show me people that's all the time fussing and arguing and fighting, I'll show you somebody that's not in the right fellowship with God. I don't care what they say. You cannot fuss and argue and fight and be contentious and bitter and grouchy and contrary and claim that you're walking hand in hand with Jesus. Jesus can't stand that stuff. Yep. You cannot be hateful to the people of God. You cannot be mean to the people of God, contentious with the people of God, and be walking with God where you need to be walking. Let me close. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory unto glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the glory develops in one stage. And when that stage has been fulfilled in your life, it's ready for the coupling or the revealing of the next stage of glory. We see it in Joseph in the Old Testament. We see it in David in the Old Testament. We see it with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. How that God would lead them from one stage to another, to another. And they would never pass beyond stage one until they had learned to overcome. He's not going to push them through a pipe on the other side. They're going to have to overcome. A mystical spiritual change happens within us when we arrive from one stage to another. Now, there's times that we will change from this glory and we're not even aware of it. We feel something moving. We feel a pulsation of our faith and something calling us. And it may have happened yesterday and you're still looking for it today. But watch itself as it unfolds and you'll know that you've arrived. For the glory of God, our spiritual assimilation into Christ as revealed from stage to stage, step to step,
glory to glory. Let's stand. Solomon and the Shulamite have grown in their love and their affection. She grew from the stage of first meeting him. Again and again he would come by. And she began to assimilate into the projections of his words and his love. Initially she was so overwhelmed by the greatness of such a man. He's trying to toy with me. He's not serious. He doesn't love me. How could he? I'm this humble peasant girl. This is the King of Israel. But the more he talked, the more she assimilated. And the more she assimilated, the more he talked. It's just like this. You've broke back into eternity again. The more he talks, the more you assimilate and believe. And the more you assimilate and believe, the more he talks. And the more you assimilate, the more he talks. And the more he talks, the more you assimilate. And the more you assimilate, the more he talks. And the more he talks. He's fixing to talk you out of this world. There's a lot of talking going on right now. Satan is fixing to talk himself right into this world. His head demon's going to be incarnate in the pontiff himself. And when the bride goes up, the devil comes down. The accuser of the brethren's come down. Oh, that'll make us all shout. Amen. Why? She's gone up. Can't accuse her no more. Why? Her mortality has ceased. There's nothing to accuse. And the presence of God changes her. And he talks himself right in by cunning words and great speeches. Talks him right self into that position of what he's wanted. And the Lord is talking and persuading. Here they sit in the wedding chamber, the bridal chamber. The tallow candles are flickering all around them. The Persian rugs on the floor. Such fine delicacies of food and desserts and wine and whatever more that they would have had in that day. Maybe the music playing real softly behind them. Because many of the Eastern kings loved music. And when they was in deep need of meditation and thought, they would bring the musicians close to the inner sanctum where they were. But on sacred special times, they would move the musicians a little far back so it was become more like background music. So he takes her by the hand. Oh, my beloved, my fair one, my sister, my spouse. Praise God. Now she's finding herself able to accept these words easier than 6 months ago. They seem so just overwhelming to her, almost offensive, 6 months ago. But not any longer. He wants to talk her right into submission. Chapter 4, verse 16. She says, come, north wind, and blow thou south upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. What's she doing? She's now reached the place of complete submission. She's offering everything she is to Solomon. Let my beloved come into his garden. Chapter 5, verse 1. I have come into my garden. Eat, friends. Eat, drink. I have come into my garden. Marriage supper. Lord, children, do you see where we are? If the bride is beckoning him, hey, with all of his goodness and mercy, to come into us and live in us and take us over,
We're only one verse away from the marriage supper of the Lamb. Brother Donnie, what about Russian? And what about Korean? What about you? I'm not going to stand here and tell you today that I'm not thinking about Korean, Russian, what all they're doing. But my concern is not Russia. My concern is getting the bride ready to leave this world. Praise God. What about it, children? Oh my. Do these words still overwhelm you? Do they? Oh, that can't be me. I'm not good enough. I'm not. Look at your thinking. Look at your talking. You need God to help you. Deliver you of that. Not just them words. The source of where those words are coming from. Praise God. Praise God. You love Him. With all your heart. Our children's going to start school this week. Some's already started, I think. Some of our homeschool children will be starting as well. I'd like for all of our children, if they would, to be going to school. If they'd just kind of gather up around the front here. Let's offer a word of prayer for them, shall we?
Amen.
Pastor and parents together. Amen. Remember, these sermons are not just for you and your adult understanding. Amen. These kids are going to be under an onslaught. If they go to public school, whether they deal with that or whether they deal with homeschool, you can only homeschool them for so long. Then they'll get out of that influence. Some in the university, some in different stages and grades, as we would say. But each of them need God's help to be able to help them. So that they will not assimilate with the people that they go to school with. My goodness, look what a crowd of young people here. Lord Jesus. They took that beautiful picture of the youth of the church standing out there on the steps, and I brought it in my office in here and set it in my bookcase so I could look at it every service. I want you young people to know I'm not just these old people's pastor, but I'm your all's pastor as well. And if there is a tomorrow, you're not only just the church of tomorrow, but we want you to know you're a part of our church today.
Yes,
we don't want our faith to die, friends. We cannot make our children believe. We cannot make them believe, but we can instruct them and help them and try to help them to assimilate. May we pray together for our children. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus, me and Carol got home Friday night after the banquet that we was had, which was so nice and thoughtful of the people to do. We was just looking at different cards and things that people had given us. And then we took that picture out of the bag. Lord, it just made my heart jump. And Lord, we saw that picture and Carol looked at it and said, look at all them. Even when they showed them up on the screen there when we was at the convention center there. She mentioned it again. She said, think of it. You're responsible for every one of them little souls. Dear God, help me. Help me and help these parents, Father, that we can do everything in our ability to influence our children, our grandchildren, in the right way. Help us to teach them. Lord, that doesn't necessarily mean we go around with a quote book in our hand all the time. But we're teaching them by the way we live. We're teaching them by our manner and our behavior. They'll get many times much more out of that than they will ever quote book we sit down and read them. Our attendance to church, our faithfulness to prayer, all of these things are teaching our children the values. They hear me say one thing and they see their parents do something else. And that can put their little minds in a state of confusion. Well, Brother Donnie says, thus and so and thus and so. But I see Mom and Daddy doing this and this, so apparently it don't matter. Lord, help us. Father, as they start to school, those who attend public school, may the Spirit of God be with them. Lord, those who homeschool their children, many of them do, I pray you'd help the children.
Help the mothers. Lord, I know it's a great responsibility on them. Lord, I pray that you would just help them. Some of them, Father, going to university, college, whatever more, training courses for different things to further their life. Lord Jesus, may you lead them. Lord, going to many of these universities where we have so many left-leaning professors that don't believe in God and don't believe in the principles of truth. They sit there and they hear things, Lord, but may the Spirit of God watch over their hearts. Watch over their minds when them devils will try to project a question in their mind. May the Holy Spirit down in their soul arrest that thought. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, may you be with them, Father. May you keep them by your grace, Lord God. We say today, as Moses said so many years ago, when the rapture takes place, we are not leaving our children behind. We're believing you, Lord God, that they'll come right along with us. But they won't be our kids then. In that sense, we'll all be the same age. Praise God. Keep us, Lord. If one of them was to stray, one of them was to get away, may that godly teaching anchor there in their heart no matter what they ever do. Help them to never get away from it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, children. God bless you. You can go back to your seats. We have a baptism today. Brother John and Sister Rebecca Horniak, one of their children is going to be baptized. I think Brother John is going to do that. Brother John, if you'll come and prepare for that, brother. Harry, let's sing something together. While we just worship the Lord. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. To be in His presence. Praise the Lord. How wonderful He is. Come away, my love. Let's sing that. Praise God. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
Come away.
Yes, Lord. Praise God.
Come away.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I could give you my name, eternity awaits us. Come away,
my love. Oh, come away, come away.
Dressed in linen, a banquet is prepared. A host of angels gather for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready in spotless white array. A hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say, could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Day, I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. come away, my love. I loved you from creation before you came to me. I carried that love with me all the way to Calvary. And though it wasn't over when they laid me in the tomb, I proved my love would never die when I rose again for you. Come away, when I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Oh, come away, my love. When I could give you my name, eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away, my love.
I bless you. This is my son, Lincoln Michael. He's my youngest. Last one I get to put down in the water. The rest of them been baptized. I thank the Lord that He's given me. My children. Amen. He's been after us for months and months and months and months. You know, there's a lot of things that children could be after their parents for. But it's God's grace.
Glory.
That our children seek after something like this. There's nothing greater that they can have. Nothing better. So I want you to pray with me as we take him under the water and commit his little life to the most important, wonderful thing that there is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a privilege to stand in this water, Lord Jesus, with my son. Father God, not only my son, Lord Jesus, but I believe he's your son. Lord, in a dark, dark world, Lord, something that pricks a little heart, Lord Jesus, his desire is to serve you, to be a part of you, Lord. Lord, we look around and we see so much darkness and so many of the children, Lord, they have no desire for you. They have no knowledge of you, Lord. They have nothing in them that drives them closer to you, Lord, and yet you still call them. And Lord, they just don't They've just accepted the world. They've just accepted the things of darkness, Lord. But we're thankful that in this last age, Father, there's something on the inside of the inside, Lord Jesus, of your elected, Father God, that's pulling them closer, Lord. And as the world gets further away, Lord Jesus, your bride is getting closer and closer, Lord. We're so thankful for that, Lord. And I pray that you just be in this little life, Lord. Oh, Father, that you would work on him, Lord. We know that this is just the beginning. We know, Father God, that this is an outward sign of an inward work. Lord, that inward work, he has to have his own personal relationship with you. He can't come to church with mom and dad and expect to have some be able to rapture away. He can't come to church and be able to have all the answers. Lord, that's where he gets the leadership to get a relationship with you, Father. And I pray that you would just be with him and help him, Lord Jesus, to get that relationship with you. And Lord, that he would grow in you and your Holy Spirit would dwell in him. And his choices, Lord, wouldn't be his choices, but they would be your choices, Father God. We ask that you just move on. We ask it in your precious name. May your Holy Spirit come down. Lincoln, I baptized you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you today. Thank you for the opportunity that we can be gathered together, Lord, with you and with your children once again in your divine presence. May there not be one of us, Lord Jesus, that will be missing that day when you come to collect your jewels from the earth. We know, Lord, as the rubies and many of the precious gems that are found, Lord, they're made beautiful pieces of rings and necklaces and jewelry, yet many of them have such a small beginning. They're dug out of certain places in the earth and found in creeks and rivers. They come from the earth. They're cut and polished, fit in to make a jewel. Same with your jewels. They were found. You found some of them in the bar. You found some of them in the hog lot of sin. But you cut them, you got to mine them out of the earth. We're going now through the Holy Ghost mind of being cut and shaped. Praise God. And soon you're going to gather your jewels. You're going to place them in your crown, as it were. For Paul tells us that the woman is the glory of the man. Glory be to God. The crowning glory of our blessed Lord Jesus will be when the first resurrection cycle sets in and the saints are raised and we are changed and the jewels will be gathered in that mystical crown at our blessed King. We love you, Father. Go with us now. Bring us back at the appointed time, Father God. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Love you so much. I want to say again how we appreciate the appreciation banquet that we had Friday night. Thank everybody and all the work they did. I understand that Sister Renell was one that did a great deal of a lot of this stuff. I don't know who did what, but Carol had told me that she did. And we want to certainly say we appreciate her. Sister Angel, I think, had put the book together. Each one of you, whatever it was that you did, thank you for that. I know it was just you wanting to express your love and appreciation for Carol and myself, and we thank you for that. May God bless you. Let's go in the fear of God. Let's sing it together. Come away, my love. Sing it, Harry. God bless you, saints. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Come away. Day, when I could give to you my name, eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I waited for
hopeless day. And I could give to you my name. Eternity awaits us. Come away.